Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
With the holidays around the corner, now's your chance to save time and money at Safeway's Stock Up Sale. Plus, earn 4 times gas reward points on participating items. Look for tags on items like Honey Nut Cheerios. Select varieties are 4 for $8 with your club card. And select varieties of Betty Crocker Cake Mix, Brownie Mix, or Frosting are 10 for $10 with your club card. Maximum gas reward at participating Sunoco stations is 20 cents per gallon and $1 per gallon at Safeway stations in a single fill-up up to 25 gallons. Other restrictions, limitations, and exclusions apply. For complete details, go to Safeway.com.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Locked On Cavaliers. As always, I'm Chris Manning, your host from Fear the Sword and the Step Back. Today, just going to give you 3 quick things to know about the Indiana Pacers. Nothing much happened in the last 24 hours with the Cleveland Cavaliers. We didn't see any news. We didn't see any more trade rumors. We didn't really get more on LeBron's comments. I mean, we obviously know him saying the report from the New York Daily News about the Kevin Love for Carmelo trade was, quote, trash, and he also went as to call the author of the report, Frank Isola, trash, which I just want to say I don't know if you need to get personal with that stuff. You can repeat the report without resorting to that, and I understand it's frustrating and all that stuff, but hey, and the press in some ways is always going to be the enemy, and that's just the reality of the situation, but that's not what we're really here to talk about, I guess. But again, nothing much. And if we're talking about more specific news with this Cavs team, Lance Stephenson, who worked out with the Cavs at their tryout not too long ago, it looks like he's going to go to the Minnesota Timberwolves on a 10-day deal. Tom Thibodeau, the coach and president of the T-Wolves, has said that they like Lance. They're trying to get that done. So it looks like he's going to go take over some of Zach LaVine's minutes up in the Twin Cities, which I think is a good place for him. I think he'll probably get more minutes there, at least in theory. Expecting to play. I do think that it's interesting that the Cavs aren't really going to look at him or wouldn't have done that with him. And I mean, there is this struggle now that they had that trial. They've been linked to a bunch of other guys and haven't made a move. I kind of expected it to come sooner, but that they're kind of are playing it safe. And I mean, if we're looking at that specific workout, I'm sure you guys have read this. If you read Dave McMenamin and some of the other guys, it looked like Jordan Farmar was the most impressive guy at that workout, which to me was a bit of a surprise. And I believe he was a late addition, if I'm not mistaken. But the Cavs apparently have given him assurances that if they sign someone from that tryout, it's going to be Jordan Farmar, not a Mario Chalmers, not a Lance Stephenson, not a Kirk Heinrich. So take that for what you will, kind of evaluate it how you will, but that's sort of where we are at in terms of the Cavs making a move. And, 15 days till the trade deadline, so we're getting close. Pretty interesting times in that sense for the Cavs. But 3 things to know is what we're going to do here for the Indiana Pacers, looking at the Cleveland Cavaliers' 7 p.m. game in Indiana against a Central Division rival. All right, so first thing about the Pacers. They're 29-22, 6.5 games back of the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're the 6th seed in the East at the moment. They've won 7 straight. They're 20-6 home, a good home team. This is also a place historically where Kyrie and Tristan really struggled to win their first couple years in the league, and it was a big deal when they finally won there not too long ago. That was a big moment for them. The Pacers are a team that I think have sort of, they've begun at least to separate themselves from the muck of the Eastern Conference, and that, I think that's sort of worth noting here. As we recorded this, they're a half a game behind the Hawks, only a game behind the Wizards, only two games behind Toronto. This is a team with a big run, and continuing to win could really be a team that gets itself into a better contention and gets itself into potentially being the 4 seed, potentially being the 5 seed. Just not be right now. If the season ended, they're playing Toronto in the first round. That's not a terrible matchup for them, but I think this is a team that theoretically could get home court advantage. I think they're going to end up 5th. I think Washington, Toronto, Cleveland, Boston are all better, and I think those teams are going to stay better, but they're right there, and I trust them more than Atlanta because they have Paul George, they have Miles Turner. Jeff Teague's been okay. They haven't, and CJ Miles, I'm a big fan of his as well, as a lot of you probably know, but I think this is a team that is legitimately pretty solid. They have their issues. Them playing Kevin Seraphin and Al Jefferson together on second units is terrible, and the Cavs should certainly take advantage of that, but this is a better team than Chicago, than Detroit, than Charlotte, than Milwaukee. This is a team that truly has begun to separate itself from the other muck of Eastern Conference. They're a legit playoff team. They're above sort of the middle crass class of the Eastern Conference, and the Cavs are probably going to have a bit of a fight on their hands Wednesday night in Indiana. Number two, let's look at Amon Shumpert. Now, we don't know for sure what the issue with Shumpert is just yet. We don't know exactly what his situation is, and we don't know the extent of his ankle injury just yet, but I wouldn't expect to see him on Wednesday night. I think this is, considering he was in a boot, considering how his ankle looked, I just wouldn't expect to see him at least for a little bit, and that's fine. That is something that I think makes sense. I think that's something that fits into what you want to take with him, but it does leave the Cavs sort of thin in some interesting areas when you're looking at where they're at. If you look at what they're going to have to do now in Shepard's absence, Kyle Korver is probably going to start in his place at 2 guard. That works in terms of an offensive fit especially, but you're looking at a guy who, like Kyrie Irving, like Kevin Love, is not a good defender, and he's not quite as able to move and work into better positions like Kyrie and Kevin are capable of, because they're just better athletes at this point. They're younger, they have fresher legs, etc., etc. So that's something to watch there. That means LeBron's going to have to defend Paul George. That means you're probably going to see some Korver defending Monta Ellis and defending CJ Miles and defending these other wings that might create with the ball. And it also means that Kyrie Irving is going to be asked to defend Jeff Teague. That's a big thing. I mean, Jeff Teague isn't exactly a great point guard, but he's a solid point guard. He has been dating back to his days with the Hawks. And I think, he can create. He can dribble penetrate. He can do these things that are going to prevent problems for Kyrie Irving, who, mind you, is not quite at 100% due to his ankle injury. I think, kind of going off of the starting thing, I think you're going to see more DeAndre Liggins. I think we haven't seen him of late. I think you have to sort of see him in this game. I think you have to sort of see more of Jordan McRae. I think you might see more Kate Felder. The Cavs are going to have minutes to fill without Shump. And, unless his ankle gets significantly better in a day, I just wouldn't expect him to play. And I think it'd be a long shot, again, for him to play come Wednesday. So I would just kind of say, consider sort of the rotation, consider the minutes here. And I think going off of that, I think the thing to watch kind of as a bonus in number two here is sort of, what do the Cavs do with their rotation, and how do they sort of manage it? I think you may see Tyronn Lue try to throw things at the wall and see if he can get them to stick again. And I think that makes some sense. I think that certainly has its value. There are certainly limits to that as well, so we'll see what happens. The last thing to watch is off of that, and it's kind of, let's see how many minutes everybody plays, and specifically the big three. All three played 40 minutes against Washington. We know LeBron's playing an absurd amount of minutes. This is on a road trip. They just had an overtime game, although LeBron, you know, only played the minute or minute plus because he fouled out. If you look at this game, they're playing on Thursday. They play again on Sunday. You're sort of packing games into a tight schedule here, but you are getting close to the All-Star break. LeBron, of course, is not going to rest on the All-Star break. Kyrie is not going to rest. Love isn't going to rest. They're all playing in the All-Star game. Two of them are starters. Kyrie isn't going to be in the three-point contest once again. So I would just say, let's see how many minutes these guys get. I think it would make sense for LeBron to not play quite as much. I don't think you need him to play quite as much. I don't think it makes a lot of sense for him to play a lot in this game. It's not going to matter. It is not going to particularly matter in the grand scheme of things. So rest him, kind of get him a chance to breathe, get him a chance to just take some miles off the legs, play him 32 minutes, and maybe rest him Thursday. I mean, that's like sort of a thing that I don't think will happen. I think that's more resting than the Cavs have planned for LeBron James, but I think getting him rest on Wednesday in the middle of a road trip, in the middle of a sloggy pre-All-Star break part of the year, makes a lot of sense, and I think you could certainly justify limiting LeBron's minutes. And, you know, even if it means you're going with really funky things, even if you're doing really weird things with your rotation and having to play Jordan McRae 25 minutes, I'd rather that than have to have LeBron play 42 just because you're trying to win a middle of the season game against the Indiana Pacers. Like, it doesn't matter all that much, to be honest. So that's sort of everything that's going on there. If we're going to just run through a couple little things here, again, Lance Stephenson is going to the T-Wolves, so one Cavs target is at least out of the realm of possibility for 10 days. If you look in some more trivial news, and Nike is not going to release an All-Star signature pack this year, so your Kyrie's, your LeBron's, whether it's the Soldiers or the 14s, you're not going to get any specific All-Star releases like we've seen in years past. So if you're a shoehead, if you're a sneakerhead, you're not going to get your All-Star fix this year. You can still probably get PEs of whatever they wear. You can probably go to Nike ID and customize those, but don't expect a specific pack. And that's really all that's sort of going on. If we're actually, funny enough, as I'm recording this podcast, I will note that on the Cavs' official preview for Wednesday's game, Amon Shumpert is listed as TBD. He is listed as a probable starter. Take that with a grain of salt. It's about 11 o'clock as I recorded this. 11 o'clock as I'm going through this. So by the time you listen to this podcast on Wednesday afternoon, this may have changed, but it looks like there's at least a chance he could play, which to me is a tad bit surprising, and I don't know if the risk is exactly worth it. I just would not think it actually makes sense to play him. If you're looking to read up on this game, Fear the Sword is going to have a game preview up for you from one of our writers, Scott Recker, so you can check that out. He has some good breakdowns there, a little bit about the three-point shooting of both teams. Also on Fear the Sword, you know, we have some stuff up from the overtime game against the Wizards. We have a Q&A that Justin Rowan did with Bullets Forever, our sister site, the Washington Wizards blog, that you can check out as well. That I think is a pretty fun read, and you can look at our podcast from yesterday if you want more on that game. Trevor Magnotti also has a piece up about Kevin Love's back that I think is really worth looking into. Trevor isn't just some kook on the internet writing about medical stuff. This is a guy with a legit athletic training background, and he wrote a lot about Kevin Love's back and sort of what the issue is and sort of how they're going to be manageable and how they're going to be affecting him. And look, like, this is a direct sentence. Quote, Love's back issues are likely to continue for the rest of his career, and management through stretching and scheduled rest is going to be paramount for his long-term longevity in the league. But this doesn't mean he will be missing games once a month for the rest of his career. So just note that, like, these back issues that he's had would cause him to leave games and stuff. Those are optically not great, but he's just sort of got a creaky back. And you can manage it, you can figure that out, and you can make it work. So check that out as well. Drop those mailbag questions in for next week's show. You can do that, again, at Locked On Cavs on Twitter, lockedoncavs@gmail.com. And we're going to do a Facebook Live over on Fearless Sports Facebook page before and at halftime of the Pacers game. We're going to probably do those every game if we can. And if the response is there over on the page. So find that at facebook.com/FearTheSorda. So check that out. And that's again, sort of it. Not a long podcast today. Maybe we'll have longer tomorrow, depending on the game. Maybe we'll have another surprise guest. We'll kind of just see how it plays out. But again, 7 p.m., Cleveland Cavaliers, Indiana Pacers. If you want some Pacers fix, Locked On Pacers from Tom Lewis, you can check out on the iTunes store. He runs Indie Cornrows, my Fear the Sword sister site that covers the Pacers and the SB Nation family of networks. And Ian Levy is a great Pacers fan as well at Hickory High. So looking forward to this game. Should be fun. Getting to see Miles Turner and Tristan Thompson go off, and LeBron having to defend Paul George should be pretty interesting as well. We'll see about Amon Shumpert, and we'll see how the Cavs continue. Cavs are winners of five of their last six. Again, just beat the Wizards. The Pacers have won seven in a row. Something's got to give there, and we're going to kind of just see how the Cavs play in this middle of the season kind of randomy game before the All-Star break. So this has been Chris Manning. It's been Locked On Cavs, and we will be back tomorrow.
Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, BOOM.